You can be the martyr if you want to be. You can be the victim if you want to be. You can be all those things. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to people who want to be enriched. People who want to be their lives enhanced. Not saved or lost. I pray you're all saved. But I'm talking about living in a life that you're happy you're living for God. And it's an abundant life, both in this life, in the world, and in church. So Paul is telling us that his mind, with his mind, he wants to serve God, but the flesh still has desires. And he said, I realize that I'll never get away from this flesh. I realize that I only have one house, and I got a miracle and a mistake trying to live in the same house. Ishmael and Isaac couldn't live in the same house. One was a miracle, one was a mistake. What had to go? The mistake. So the miracle could live. And I realized, he said, I've got to find a way to serve God. Oh, I got it. He said, I serve God here, not here. So that God knows my thoughts and my intents and not actually what I do. Because what I do, he said, I would not. See, this, when I would, he said, evil's always present. So that I do not. That's not what I wanted to do. Because my mind didn't want to do that. Are you with me this morning? So Paul didn't give us this example to cop out and say, well, that's me. And too many times we do that. We cop out and say, well, I'm like Paul. I got that thorn in the flesh. You know, married the wrong one. No, I'm just kidding. I got that thorn in the flesh. And we use these little examples as, oh, that's me. Well, it may be and it may not be. Don't talk yourself into that being you. Paul did not give us this example so we say, well, that's just the way my life's going to be. He was showing us how this starts out. There's a real war going on, but you can win the battle. Who shall deliver me from this? I thank God through Jesus Christ. He will deliver me. If he can't deliver me, then why did he come? Hallelujah. So I want you to think about this. I want to think about this real close. If God would enrich your life, your physical life, your carnal life, if you will, not an ungodly life, just enrich your life through his spirit. He's going to enrich your life through his spirit. Then the members of the flesh would be satisfied with the enhancement. Are you understanding? If God does, he said, that you may be enriched by him, not you, not the boss, not some favor in the world, enriched by him. So if think about it, if the Spirit of God, if the anointing of God would enrich your life, then your members would go, hey, this is good. I like this. It would satisfy them too. Okay? See, if you're enriched in your life through the ways of the flesh, kill, steal, destroy. I'm going to get it one way or the other. I'm going to get that promotion. If I have to lie, I'm going to get that promotion. Anytime the Bible says you get ill-gotten gain, he said, it's like a person that cheats on their spouse. He said, it looks like sweet water, but when you get it in your mouth, it's full of sand and gravel, and you can spit all you want to. You can't get rid of it. And so here he's telling us, and I'm trying to teach you this morning, that if God enriches your life through his spirit, then your flesh is satisfied with it. But if it's done through the flesh, it's never satisfying, it's never gratifying, you always want more. The Bible says that watch Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessings of the Lord, it makes you rich in every way, and he adds no sorrow to it. But if you get your flesh satisfied by fleshly modes, it never works. But if through the Spirit your flesh is satisfied, if you need money, he's got money. How many of you know he's got money? If you need peace, he's got peace. You need a job, God's got you a job. If you get what your flesh needs through the Spirit, then it satisfies the flesh. And guess what? They're in harmony now. Hallelujah. It works living for God. I'm so glad. My flesh starts saying, man, I'm glad you're living for God, because I would never have any of this if I wasn't living for God. Are you understanding that if your life is enriched through him, it's gratifying, it's satisfying, and your flesh now is thankful that you're living for God instead of warring with you. I'm at peace with my flesh this morning. So in our example, David killed the giant by the anointing of the Spirit. And look what all he got for his flesh. It was the Spirit. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. It was the Spirit that a man could use a rag and a rock and kill a giant and all of Israel take over the Philistines. I'm telling you, it was a miracle. And because of the anointing, his life was enriched. He had a wife. He had riches. He had a roof over his head. His family was free. All of these were carnal things, but it happened because of the Spirit, so you can enjoy it. If it happens because of the Spirit, then you can enjoy what's going on. Amen. I've got to hurry. Let me skip. I have to come back later. I want to get down to this, Matthew 9:1. I want to show you a man that I would compare a life application of a man that has the palsy, and let's just call him a paraplegic for the teaching's sake this morning. Matthew 9:1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now this man has his mind, you see. This is my paraplegic Christian, if you will. He has his mind, but his muscular paralysis won't let him be led by the Spirit. He keeps satisfying the flesh, even though his mind wants to be well. So his members don't perform what his mind says. So there we find this man lying in a bed with others bringing him to Jesus. And this man is sick of the palsy, lying in the bed, and he is comforting his sickness. Even though his mind may say, let's get up out of this bed, his body doesn't get up out of the bed. And I'm afraid that too many paraplegic saints or Christians, if you will, their mind tells them, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to serve for God, but they keep lying in the bed. They keep lying in the bed. Because what happens is the man has a crisis in his life, and he's comforting the crisis. I'm going someplace in the next few minutes. He's comforting the crisis by lying in the bed, right? So when he faces the crisis, he takes comfort. He takes comfort. Instead of confronting the issue many times, paraplegic saints, instead of confronting the issue, we comfort the issue. And we make allowances for the issue. We'll say, well, God knows I'm just flesh. Well, you know, I inherited this. You know, it really wasn't my fault. And we comfort the issue rather than confronting the issue. I'm tired of laying in this bed. My mind says, get up. I am ready to get up. Take me to Jesus. Take me to Jesus. I believe that he can help me get up so that my body will do what my mind says. So take me to Jesus. So they take him to Jesus, and he sees their faith. And the problem is that some people in life have so many issues, they have so many beds, they could open a hospital. With all the beds they got, with all the things they take comfort in. For some people, going to the nursing home won't be a big deal. You're laying in a bed anyway. They just lay in a bed. So I wonder this morning, how many beds do you have? How many things do you take comfort in? People, I don't mean to be rude with this, but when people meet Christ, if they don't confront it, some people when they meet a Christ, oh, give me a cigarette. Oh, somebody got a cigarette. And some people, they go drink. I got to have a drink. Some people, they got to go eat. Where's the pantry? I got to go eat. And I got to go buy something. I got to do something. I got to go fishing. I got to go hunting. I got to buy a new dress. And they keep comforting the issue with a bed.
and never confront the issue. How many beds do you have? The Bible says when you light a candle, don't put it under the bed. Put it on a candlestick. Ooh, I wished I had time. Y'all still awake out there? I wished I had time. Skip, skip, skip. This is good stuff. I have to come back on Tuesday night. Jesus tells the man, let's go to verse 3. I'm going to read this. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, because he tells the man, take up his bed and walk, thy sins be forgiven thee. But first he tells the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Notice, he forgave his sins first. I'm here to tell you, get your soul right first. Get your soul right first. He got his soul right. And then they're all, oh, he's blaspheming. Look, because you can't see sins. When a guy's laying in the bed, they don't know anything about it. Oh, who is he? Say, give thy sins be forgiven. He says, watch this. The same one that can say thy sins be forgiven thee can also say, take up thy. Oh, hallelujah. Take up thy comfort. Take up what you've been comforting in. Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. What's easier? They're both difficult. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, lying in the bed, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. Don't you think he wanted to do that a long time ago? But he was paralyzed. And some of you want to live for God, but you're paralyzed. I'm here to tell you, get your soul right first. Hallelujah. And the same God that can help you get your soul right will tell you, take up thy bed and walk. Whew. And he arose and departed to his house. Jesus allowed them to blaspheme him, even though he was God in flesh. But he wanted them to realize that I have the power to enhance a person's life. I have the power to enrich this man's life. I have the power not just say, thy sins be forgiven. Oh, bless God. Heaven's going to be nice one day. I'm just making it down here. That's not why he came. He came not only to save you, but that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want people to know I can enrich this man's life. He's never walked before. If he has now, he's not, and he never will again. I'm going to enrich his life. Take up that bed and go to your own. Put your bed where it belongs, honey. It don't belong on the street. You don't need to be telling your problems at the job and with other people. Put your bed at home. Ooh, I wished I had time, Brother Gidros. I wished I had time. The proof that the man's sins had been forgiven was when he got up and took up what he once had comfort in. The proof that his sins were forgiven to them was when the man got up and he took his bed and said, see y'all later. I'm going home. Hallelujah. This thing don't belong. I don't need to take comfort in this anymore. I can walk just like you can. God has enriched my life. Hallelujah. And I think it's time for some of you to quit laying in the bed of comfort. Take up that bed. Get your soul right and take up that bed. My God. You know, the Bible says that Paul or John wrote this. He said, I would that your soul would prosper and your health would prosper with it. He said your soul prosper and then your health will prosper with it. And I'm telling you, if your soul will prosper, then I promise you, because the book backs me up, that God will enrich your life. Take up that bed that you keep comforting in and playing the victim and all this kind of stuff. Just get over it and pick it up and put it on your shoulder and take it back to your house and leave it there. We all need comfort. We all need, I understand that, but do it at home. You don't need to be God's testimony at the job or when you're fishing with a buddy and, oh, life is just treating me so miserable. You're talking about your God. To despise where you're planted is to despise the one that planted you. Hallelujah. God good? He's good. Hallelujah. He wants to enrich your life, he said, in everything. Amen. God bless you this morning. We're going to take a quick break and come back for morning worship.